This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, December 21st. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O, sportstalknetwork.com. We'll start right with the NBA last night. A few interesting games, not quantity, but quality. Oklahoma City on a 12-game winning streak goes up to Minnesota to play the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves, obviously, a much better team. Now that they have Kevin Love back, Kevin Love, of course, has been a superstar in the league. I think the best shooting big man of all time, frankly, when you think about what he can do from three-point range. You know, you can go back to guys like Bob Lanier, Patrick Ewing, guys like that. But this guy shoots threes like they're foul line jumpers. So yesterday, Oklahoma City into Minnesota. Minnesota gets the win, a huge win for them, beating a top three team in the NBA. Minnesota 99. Oklahoma City 93, Kevin Love is Kevin Love, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 9 for 20 shooting, 4 for 9 from 3. I mean, amazing. 7 assists as well, an excellent passer. Give him a lot of credit, but I thought the star of the game was J.J. Barea. Barea with 18 points overall, but when Oklahoma City made their run in the fourth quarter, Barea scored 14 points in the fourth quarter, 12 straight. I mean, look, he really is instant offense. You know, Vinnie Johnson from the good old days, how they let him go from Dallas along with Tyson Chandler and ruined, you know, it's the old Dallas got one championship, but they really broke up their team, and they're just not a championship team anymore, with or without Dirk Nowitzki. Petkovic also, they have a very good center, Minnesota, 24 points, 10 rebounds. So Minnesota moves to 13-11, and they're going to be a playoff team, even in the tougher West. Kevin Durant, 33 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. The guy is unbelievable. Serge Ibaka, 14 points, 9 rebounds. Westbrook, 30 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists. He's unbelievable as well, although yesterday in a big part of the game, 8 turnovers, and of course if you saw the game or saw the highlights, a huge block by Kevin Love on Russell Westbrook on a rebound very late in the game when they were down 3, I think, when Oklahoma City was down 3. So this is a gigantic win for Minnesota. They prove they can play with anybody, and I think they can play with anyone, at least at home. But now Minnesota moves to 13-11. Oklahoma City drops, to 21-5. Still the best record in the NBA. Minnesota 99. Oklahoma City 93. Now, again, only three games, but yesterday another interesting game. The Miami Heat go over to Dallas to play the Mavericks, and you know, what can you say about the Heat? The Heat, they're just the best team. I mean, that's what they are. They've got the big three. Everybody says LeBron James, MVP, MVP, MVP. I personally don't think so, because sometimes it's not all about LeBron. You have Wade, the top, what, 5-player, 7-player in the NBA on his team. So I don't give LeBron the credit that everybody else gives. Yesterday, the Heat on the road against Dallas. Dallas still with no Dirk Nowitzki. Heat 110, Dallas 95, and it wasn't even that close. I mean, they were down 30. The Mavericks were down 30 after three quarters. Not really a game. LeBron, 24 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Bosh, 17 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Wade, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Again, what can you say? Plus, they get help off the bench now. Battier, 13 points off the bench, 4 rebounds. Ray Allen, who's been, he's really going to make a difference come playoff time for Miami. 10 points, 3 assists. Again, not gaudy numbers, but he's the guy who can knock down a big three. And by that, I mean a big three in crunch time of a playoff game, which is frankly something that LeBron has not been able to do. Again, all these people who say, oh, LeBron, he's the MVP, he's the MVP. He just shows up and plays well, he's the MVP. I don't agree with that at all. Do I think he was the MVP last year? Yeah, you can give it to him. But again, when your sidekicks are Wade and Bosh, there were a number of games last year where Wade was the main man by far. And that doesn't usually happen for an MVP candidate. But I'll say it again, a guy like Allen and Battier, and of course Mike Miller, who won that final game of the championship series last year by hitting six or seven threes, those are the guys you need to fill the spots. All you have to do is be a stand-up three-point shooter, and certainly at this stage of his career, at a minimum, Ray Allen is that. I think he's still a little more. So the Heat get a nice win over the Mavericks, 110-95. Again, not even that close, 30 points after three. For the Mavericks, again, no Dirk. You know, what are they going to do? Jay Crowder is a nice player off the bench. 15 points, their leading scorer. That's kind of all you need to know. You know, Jones had 12. Marion had 10. Collison had 11. Carter had 10 off the bench. James had 12 off the bench, but they just don't have the firepower. No Dirk Nowitzki, no firepower. But even when Dirk comes back, you know, they're certainly not a championship-caliber team. Again, why they broke that team up, they could have re-signed Chandler. Barea did not sign for a lot of money in Minnesota. And Deshaun Stevenson as well left town, but they didn't do it. Mark Cuban got his one title. Maybe that's all he wants. Miami now 17-6. Dallas hovering around the 500 mark at 12-14. Still waiting on Dirk Nowitzki to come back from his knee problems. Another interesting game. You know, Denver, we talk about them a lot. We have not talked about Portland a lot. But Portland, you know, they have a very good young player in Damian Lillard, kind of a sleeper pick in the draft, but he's really become an exciting player. Yesterday, the Trailblazers at home beat the Nuggets, Portland 101, Denver 93. Portland gets to 500 at 12-12. Denver 14-13, one game over 500. Yesterday, Batum was the main man, playing 40 minutes for Portland, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Matthews also had 20, but this Lillard running the show now, he can score, he can pass, 12 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds, did not have a good shooting day, but obviously one of these players already in the league where he can do other things if he's not shooting well. So the Trailblazers with a nice win over what I think is a good, not great, Nuggets team. And, you know, the problem for the Nuggets, we've talked about it at length, they don't have that superstar. Iguodala is an excellent player, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, but they don't have that guy. I know George Karl wasn't happy with Carmelo, and Carmelo wasn't happy with George Karl, but once they gave up Carmelo, I think they gave up all chance of being a really top NBA team. You see what Carmelo's doing with the Knicks, an NBA MVP caliber season. Yesterday, for example, even though Lawson and Iguodala and Brewer off the bench all had 13, they don't have that one guy, Gallinari, who's hot and cold, 1-for-10 yesterday for 6 points. You know, Fareed, the massive rebounder, 3-for-10 for 6 points, 8 rebounds. You know, they just don't have that firepower. So I know George Karl has said he prefers this kind of team, but to me it's not a team that can do much more than make the playoffs. Trailblazers 101, Nuggets 93. The Trailblazers get to 500, and the Nuggets still one game over 500. Perhaps the biggest NBA story yesterday, though, was not a game. It was the fact that Steve Nash, two-time MVP, now playing for his former coach at Phoenix, D'Antoni, where he was the two-time MVP, is trying to come back from a broken leg. Remember when he first got hurt, it was a bruise, it was going to be a week. Even when it was like broken, it was only going to be 2 or 3 weeks. Now, of course, it's been like 6, 7, 8 weeks. But yesterday, for the first time, Steve Nash engaged in a full contact practice with the Lakers. Again, the Lakers' problems are not just about not having Steve Nash, but not only do they not have Steve Nash, they've lost Steve Blake, who's got an abdominal injury, so they've been starting Darius Morris at the point with Chris Duhon behind him. And even if you have Kobe and Dwight Howard, and now Pau Gasol is back, you still need a guy to run the show, and Morris and Chris Duhon are okay backups at best. And the fact that they've started has really hurt the Lakers production-wise, moving the ball-wise, assist-wise, scoring-wise. So they can't get bad luck for them that Blake got hurt as well as Nash, because they would have won a few more games with Blake at the point. But Nash worked out yesterday. They think that he's going to be able to play next Tuesday, Christmas Day, and for maybe the first time in a long time, where the Knicks will go into the Staples Center to play the Lakers and probably be the favorites, which is, I'm a New York guy, not something I can remember hearing in the last, I don't know, fill in the blank, 10 years, 12 years. So Nash with a full workout, expected to play next Tuesday against the Knicks. He's been out for 8 weeks now. And yesterday afterwards, he obviously was cautious, but I think it's the old cautiously optimistic. So that'll be a game. Apparently there are five NBA games on Christmas Day. You know, I don't know about you. That's too many, but I guess you pick and choose. Certainly I'll be watching the Knicks and the Lakers. A couple of Major League Baseball notes. A.J. Brzezinski leaves the White Sox, goes to Texas for a one-year deal. Now, that's very interesting. As you know, Texas desperately needed a catcher. But last year, Ron Washington, the Texas manager who managed the All-Stars, did not pick A.J. Brzezinski for the All-Star team. I certainly thought he should have made it. And Brzezinski apparently was upset about it, but I guess not upset enough to stay away from Texas. So A.J. Brzezinski, a one-year deal. He'll be the Texas Rangers catcher next year. And the Cubs trying to upgrade their pitching, sign Edwin Jackson to a free agent contract. Again, the Cubs, you know, they have so much work to do. Theo Epstein trying to work his Boston Red Sox magic out there. It just hasn't happened yet. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but certainly Edwin Jackson, you know, has the ability to have a big-time season for the Chicago Cubs this coming year. A number of notes from the NFL. First of all, RG3, all eyes on RG3. His second consecutive full day of practice. He had a full day of practice Wednesday. He had a full day of practice Thursday. He really wants to play. Obviously, he wanted to play last week. He's got that sprained knee that he's coming off of. Shanahan said he is not 100% yet, that he will need doctor clearance. But if he does have doctor clearance, then he will play on Sunday. But as of yesterday, Thursday, he did not have that doctor's clearance yet. So we'll just have to wait and see. Obviously, if you go through two consecutive full days of practice and you do everything you're supposed to do, I would think you've got to be close to practice, and they don't practice on Saturday, so I think today will be the day when a decision is made. Obviously, he wants to play. Kirk Cousins has done well in relief, but RG3, a real competitor, wants to be out there, and I doubt that he's worried about a Colin Kaepernick thing happening like it did with Alex Smith. But RG3 is just a great competitor. If anything, Kirk Cousins has proven already that he can at least go out there and play in the league and do some big things in some big spots like he has the last 2 weeks. So still waiting to find out whether RG3 will play. Dallas started out 3-5, now win 5 of their last 6. They're 8-6. Dez Bryant playing with that broken left index finger. He's fighting through the pain. He is caught a TD pass from Tony Romo in 6 consecutive games. So Bryant is going to continue to go this weekend, even though he does have that broken left index finger. And Dallas, of course, looking to make the playoffs. That Dallas Redskins matchup in the final week of the season could be the difference, depending on what the Giants do, could be the difference between it being for the division or it not being for much of anything, or could be for a wild card, you just don't know. But that Dallas-Washington game, not this week, but next week, looms very large, which you kind of thought it might once the Redskins started winning and once Dallas started winning. I mean, the Redskins, very exciting with RG3. Dallas, always ultra-talented, putting it together for five wins in the last 6 games. The Steelers are another issue, though. Starting 6-3, have lost 4 of their last 5, 7-7 now overall. They need to win out. The Mendenhall suspension, he's back. He's back now. The Roethlisberger criticism of Todd Haley's play calling, that's all been, you know, Big Ben apologized, and that's all water under the bridge. But the Steelers, you know, 7-7, they're on the outside looking in right now, frankly. The Jet fiasco, I don't know if you heard the latest Rex Ryan quote, but here's a quote. Quote, if we had Tom Brady, I'd be happy with that, close quote. But obviously they don't. Sanchez, according to John Clayton of ESPN, might be heading out to Seattle, where he'll be the backup to Russell Williams next year. Pete Carroll is his college coach, as you probably know, at USC when Sanchez was there, but he needs to get out of New York. Tim Tebow, who knows? Again, according to John Clayton, he might wind up in the CFL. He doesn't think he's going to get an NFL job. And I feel bad for Tebow, not because I think he can be a great quarterback, just because he didn't get a chance. And he certainly came here with the expectation that if Sanchez flopped, which he did, he would get a chance. But they've jumped over Tebow. They're going to start McElroy this weekend against the Chargers. Again, the Jets season is over. It's almost irrelevant. But they probably think, well, they probably want to get a better read on what McElroy is. Can he start in the league? You know, he did drive them down against Arizona, but they won 7-6. So you will get a better sense if McElroy starts these next two games. And I think they've made a decision that Tebow can't be the starting and winning NFL quarterback, although obviously you can argue he did it last year at Denver and, oh, by the way, beat the Steelers in a playoff game. The Colts, fascinating. Great news for Chuck Pagano. You know their coach has been fighting leukemia. He's coming back to coach the Colts starting on Monday. The Colts obviously are one of the stories of the year with Andrew Luck. And they're going to make the playoffs, it looks like. But it'll be great to see Chuck Pagano back starting on Monday. Biggest game of the weekend, of course, 49ers at Seattle to play the Seahawks, a gigantic game, a very exciting game. Seattle certainly much better than I thought. But I still like the 49ers. I picked them to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year. And despite some ups and downs, I still think that's going to happen. Every week I pick one game, well, except the Hurricane Sandy week, of course, but every week I pick one game. This week I like the Giants on the road in Baltimore to play the Ravens. The Giants, a 2.5-point favorite, which is a very interesting line. I didn't think it would be that. I thought it would be pick 'em. But I think people can see that the Giants, although they were hammered by Atlanta, it was terrible, but not as terrible as it appeared. Tynes missed a 30-yard field goal early, and then Coughlin was chasing points the rest of the time. He could have easily kicked three field goals later in the game, including the only one he should have kicked, down 17-0 right before the half. He should have kicked that field goal to make it a two-touchdown game. He decided to go for it on fourth and short, and the three times he decided to go for it on fourth and short, partially because Tynes missed that first easy field goal, the Giants missed all three. So that became a 34-0 laugher for Atlanta. So I don't think it was quite as bad. The Ravens obviously have lots of issues, and I think it's going to be a Giants victory. Giants over the Ravens in Baltimore. Giants favored by 2.5 points. College football, one game last night. BYU beat San Diego State 23-6. Again, I don't know if you guys are into these bowl games. I'll watch an occasional one, but certainly not all of them. But yesterday it was the Kyle Van Noy show for defensive player for BYU. Only a junior. The scouts like him. He's probably going to be a pro, but what a game he had yesterday. He blocked the punt. He sacked the quarterback and recovered the resulting fumble in the end zone for a touchdown. And then later in the game, he had an interception return for a touchdown. So Kyle Van Noy gets two defensive touchdowns, and that leads BYU to a 23-6 victory over San Diego State. A couple of college games last night, the number one and two teams in action. Duke at home hammers Elon, Duke 76, Elon 54. Mason Plumlee leads the way for Duke with 21 points and 15 rebounds. Number two, Michigan hammers Eastern Michigan. Number two, Michigan at home, 93-54. Again, not a game, as a lot of these games are not this time of year. Trey Burke, an excellent point guard, 17 points, 8 assists, only one turnover. Tim Hardaway Jr., 17 points, 7 assists. Michigan goes on a 20-0 run and hammers Eastern Michigan 93-54. So, again, both of your top teams in the country yesterday easily win at home. And, of course, Beilein doing a great job at Michigan. Coach K always does a great job at Duke, as you know. So those two teams will remain the top two in the country. Your TV tonight, the main, not a lot, but the main thing is the Chicago Bulls in New York to play the Knicks at the Garden. The Bulls have been better than I thought. I thought without Derrick Rose they would have some problems. They're not great, but they're not terrible either. So Bulls at Knicks, that's on NBA TV or MSG if you get that. 7:30 Eastern, Bulls at Knicks. Ball game tonight, Ball State against the University of Central Florida. That's a 7:30 p.m. Eastern start on ESPN. And finally, a college basketball game, BYU at Baylor. That's ESPN2 at 9 o'clock Eastern. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.